Welcome to the Transliteration Podcast. This podcast maps the journey of a modern couple.
Our goal is to help trans people and their allies find common ground. We hope that by sharing our journey, we help folks relate more deeply to themselves and one another.
I'm Maria, and I'm a trans woman.
And I'm Shannon, her cisgender spouse, and we're your hosts.
Throughout this podcast, we cover many sensitive topics, including transphobia, mental health issues, and more. Please consider this a trigger warning and only continue to listen if you're in the headspace to do so. Thank you.
In today's episode, we are going to unpack the events of the first couple of weeks of Maria's coming out. We're continuing our story. So when we left you on the last episode, we really were sharing the story of Maria coming out and what really transpired over those first couple of days that she, you know, had. Can I say it? Like, I like to say this, but I don't know if it's the right thing to say. She had a revelation. Is it true?
I could say that revelation does make sense, yeah.
Or an awareness. Like, what do you prefer?
Both of those are not incorrect.
Okay. So Maria had this revelation, and she shared it with me. And, you know, we were really just kind of, within 2 days of getting this news from Maria, I was on an airplane flying out to California to deliver a keynote speech. There was so much grief and sobbing and just emotions that were raw and they were real. And I got on that stage and did that keynote. I don't remember much of it. I don't remember much of what I said. Of course, as a keynote speaker, I could probably do that in my sleep. But what I do remember is when I wasn't on that stage, I was in my hotel room in the bed sobbing, 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 and also checking on Maria via text every couple of hours because she was going through her own grieving process, which she will share in a minute. And I wasn't sure I was not going to get a call that she was still alive. I was very concerned in her state that suicide was very, very near. And that was super hard for me. I do want to say the highlight, if you will, and the irony of this whole thing is that I flew to California. I'm in a fog. I'm delivering a keynote. I'm going through the motions. I'm sobbing in my room when I should be in the room with the people, right? And at the end of the 3 days there, I was awarded the most vulnerable speaker. And I thought, holy shit, if anyone knew what was happening on the back end of me being here. You know, I am a vulnerable speaker. I am an open book. It's one of the things that has grown my business to what it is today is that realness. But man, to get an award for being the most vulnerable speaker and knowing that I had like this huge secret or thing that I couldn't even process yet. One, I'm super proud to have been given that award. And two, it's like, man, they had no idea, no idea what was happening on the back end of things. So Maria, that's what my couple of days was like in California. You were in Brooklyn on the sofa.
Yeah. First of all, I'm thinking just a little bit of a note. We definitely are going to have to put trigger warnings for our episodes because we're talking about some serious stuff and we got to make sure. Basically, every episode has to have a trigger warning because we're talking about stuff that could really send people who aren't in the right place mentally for themselves. I could see this being some of the stuff we're talking about being a problem. But yeah, it definitely was a problem for me. When I'm stressed, I have a thing with my body that my emotions They kind of take activity. They take action in my belly. They take action in my ass. Let's be frank. So yeah, hemorrhoids and digestive problems could be my Virgo rising. If you're out there, Virgo people, you know what I'm talking about. It all happens in the belly, and I was in a bad shape, just physically in a bad shape. And mentally, I was completely lost. I mean, I had just discovered, not discovered, I don't want to say I just discovered, but what I did discover was that all those things that I had been feeling my whole life actually were not an accident. They were not these little background sounds that I should be ignoring, like that first therapist I talked to when I was 16 told me. It clearly didn't go away. It was 33 years. And realizing that all of that stuff in my whole life was real, there was a lot of regret because I knew who I was. I knew when I was like 4 years old, I was like, hey, I'm a girl. And I would think that to myself, like, yeah, you know, well, talking to myself in my pre-sleep, you know, kind of weird mental state, it's like, hey, you know, you're a girl, right? And it's like, oh yeah, but we probably should keep that a secret. It's like, yeah, probably. I don't think it's going to go over too well with people. Something like that happened in my head when I was four. And believe me, I have memories of when I was very little. I have a very strange brain. I can remember things that happened to me as a child. I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. It was probably a bagel. But
confirmed.
Yeah. But so in my mind, I was like, so what I've always known has actually turned out to be real. And I just couldn't stop myself from thinking, oh, what if I had only, been able to have been myself the whole time? If I had only, you know, fought my therapist when I was 16, who tried to tell me that there was no such thing as like a homoromantic trans woman. You know, if I would have just fought harder, maybe I would have been able to live a different life. And that's all I could keep thinking was this regret. It would have been easier for me. It would have been easier for Shannon. It would have been easier for, you know, all the people who didn't even know what I was getting ready to tell them, the people in my life. And that's all I could feel. All I could feel was regret. I didn't feel any hope at that point. I didn't feel you know, there was this happiness that I wanted to feel. I wanted to feel happy, like, hey, I can be me. But there was nothing in my head that said, you can be who you are. And during those days, I had one friend who I knew, a friend from the internet, who understood what I was going through. And we're still friends today. So thank you for still being my friend. But, you know, she was there saying, you know, you can do this. You don't have to take such drastic action and end your life because there's a way. I've done this. I've come out to my wife. And, you know, it's not super simple. It's not easy, but we're making it work. You are stronger than you think you are. That was what she said to me. And I try to remember that still to this day because I don't always feel that. But I was really in a bad place at this point. And so Shannon was worried. I was worried. And in the midst of all of this, while Shannon was on a business trip, I was getting ready to go on what was to be the biggest business trip of my career. I had tickets to go to Ireland, to go out to the office there, to present this big project that I was going to be leading. It was going to be a major capstone in my career to that point. You know, all of this was happening at the same time. And here I was on my couch. I couldn't even walk. Honestly, the ways that my stress showed itself on my body were such that I wasn't able to get anywhere. I could barely get from the couch to the bathroom and back. And so after a few days of this and realizing it's not going to go away, the crying isn't going to stop yet, my body isn't going to go back to quote-unquote normal yet, I realized I had to do something about this business trip. Because there was no way that I was going to go to this place that I've never been, to meet these people that I've never met, and deal with all of that. Before even that, I just knew I couldn't even stand on that line. Like, standing on the line to get on a plane in the state that I was in was literally impossible for me at that point. And so regardless of the other people involved and all of the business of it, just, you know, dealing with air travel would have been an impossibility for me. And so I knew I couldn't do it. And I thought, how the hell am I going to tell work that I can't do this? Because I can't do this. And I thought of a few ways to do this. And this is kind of a common pattern for me. Not going to have to get into too many details, but I've had other times in my life where I was faced with an opportunity to either tell a humongous lie that would potentially make things easier in the moment, but then make things harder later on, or suck it up and just be authentic and be real in that moment. And I had chosen it before, and I had to choose it now. And so I emailed my manager, and I told her what was happening. I said, listen, so this is going to be a shock to you, perhaps, but I just realized that I am a transgender woman. I just told my wife 2 or 3 days ago, and we're trying to figure things out. I have no idea what's going on with my marriage, with my life. There's no way that I could handle this business trip. And what she said, which I didn't expect. I mean, I could say so much about the people I work with, and I'm going to try to leave them out of this because this is our story, not the story of my work family. But, you know, I shouldn't have been so surprised, but I was surprised to hear, don't worry about it. I got it. You take care of your family. You take care of yourself. Take a week off. Take 2 weeks off if you need. Let me know how I can support you. That was
such a blessing. Seriously.
And so, yeah, coming out at work for me was a lot easier than most people, honestly. Most trans people have a lot more at stake. And I definitely understand that I was in a position of privilege, just knowing that, you know, nothing bad was going to happen with my job or with my career in coming out, in just telling the truth. And I am still grateful for that every day. And I knew Shannon wasn't going to hurt me in my coming out. We might have separated, but she wasn't going to hurt me. And it's sad. It's more than sad. There's just a lot going on with the world. And when trans people come out, they're often in a position of danger. There's a lot at stake. And that's something that needs to change. People need to just be able to be. They need to be able to be who they are. And not have to worry that they're going to lose everything just by being who they are. But that's the way things are at the moment. And so, yeah, what else can I say? But I'm grateful. And, you know, coming back to it, we knew that we would have to get help. You know, being safe in coming out is one thing. And then for the long term, we both knew that we needed help. And that's where we started to seek therapy. Right. And I think we mentioned that in last episode. You know, I got a therapist just for myself to talk about all these things, all these feelings. And we got a couple therapists that we saw. And both of these were handled online. And, you know, for what it's worth, online therapy then became a big part of my life, for sure, especially as the lockdown started a couple years ago. But I don't want to fast forward too far, but needless to say, the therapy helped us a lot.
Yeah, it really helped us a lot. And one of the questions that I get asked quite a bit, you know, when I'm speaking with people is they say, well, how did you, Shannon, stay grounded, right? Like, how did you have any kind of anchors or touchstones that you kept coming back to? And the answer to that is yes. I developed a series of three questions that I would ask myself. Sometimes I would imagine hundreds of times a day. And I was just, it was my way of checking in. My emotions were all over the place. My world had been turned upside down. I knew I was going to lose family. That did happen. I knew that Maria and I would most likely not be welcome, at least to my parents' house. That is still pretty much true 3 years later. And so I want to share these three questions with you because I think no matter what you're going through in your own life, whether it's a gender transition, a sexual identity transition, a career transition, if you can develop a series of questions where you can check in with yourself and your own truth, I think there's some power in that. So the three questions that I came up with that I asked myself probably for the first year and a half, honestly, every day, multiple times a day. Number one, am I in love? Always got a yes to that question. Still get a yes to that question. Am I scared? Always got a yes to that question for the first year, year and a half. So the yes for that was okay. Do I want to leave? And that was always a no. And so these became my three questions that I really, when the overwhelm and the anxiety and, you know, losing family and losing friends and trying to figure out just really which way was up and which way was down and which way Maria and I were headed, these were the three questions that I used to really get grounded and centered and remember that I always have the answers inside. I always have the answers within, even if there's chaos on the outside. So I think those are three beautiful questions we can leave our audience with today.
Yeah, it's very true. And you're going to have your own questions and your own things to deal with. I think the answers are often in there. We just, sometimes we can't find them.
Sometimes we can't hear them.
Yeah. So hopefully this story will continue to help folks. You know, we're really just scratching the surface here with regards to, you know, what it's like to come out, what it's like to live with someone who's coming out, and all of that. But we're not done with episodes. So we'll wrap it here. And, you know, looking forward to the next episode. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and spread the love.
Also, be sure to head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/translitpodcast to join our community and learn about other ways you can support this podcast. Remember,
love always wins.